Do some.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, the Wi-Fi is working nice and minty fresh today. We got our sounds, we got our cold brews, and here we are. Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. My name is Aubrey.
And I am Drew Clark.
Welcome. Have a little dance off with us.
Oh, come and get it.
Huh, huh, huh.
It's your empathy and your imagination.
Yeah.
Right here.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, otherwise elderly and youthful, welcome to the show. Like I said, my name is Drew Clark. My friend here is Aubrey Cloutier.
Hi.
And we are the podcast where we empathize with each other, ourselves, and our guests, and we imagine about solving the world's
Whoops.
Problems.
Sorry about that.
Easy there, Final Corp.
Final Corp really wants to jump in on this.
Of course, this show is brought to you by Final Corp. They are our main sponsor. Final Corp, it'll be fine.
Thank you, Final Corp.
Yes.
Just wanted to check in. Let's do our check-in.
Let's check in.
I'm feeling good because everything's working. So I want to check in with you. How you doing? Take a drink.
Your
time.
I'm happy to have this beer. Let's go ahead and... we got a camera on me right now?
Yep, your camera's live.
So this beer we're joining today is Green Flash. It's just their Soul Style IPA. It's quite delightful. And just want to say thanks. How I'm doing... You know, I have some interesting news about my whole job money front thing. It's actually a topic I'm going to get into. But for now, how I'm doing is I feel a mixture of set free and kind of cornered. Imagine that one.
Good. Sounds like that kind of sounds like between a rock and a hard place.
But like a
soft rock.
A gentle rock.
Between a soft place and a hard place, maybe.
Maybe. So it's
I'm interested. Tell me more about that if you don't mind.
I definitely had a big feeling of sadness yesterday, and I feel also sort of free, and that's kind of the weird spot I'm at. I mean, of course, you know, money and work, blah, blah, blah. We're checking in often about how broke we are, and, you know, that's still the case, and there's more information on that front, and I have funny feelings about it. Otherwise, I'm happy to be here with you. I'm happy to be here with my friends and family all hanging out, watching us here at the podcast for Empathy and Imagination.
Cool.
Got to rock earlier.
Yeah, that was fun.
Still getting married. That's cool.
Still getting married. Got
delicious beer. We get to have some of my favorite medicine a little bit later. Yeah, I think that's my check-in for now. How about you, man?
Cool.
How's my friend over there doing? How you feeling?
Doing pretty good. I didn't go to Guitar Center this week, so that means the week was great.
Oh, sorry, Guitar Center.
Yeah, sorry, Guitar Center. Final Corp has taken your place in our hearts and our minds. No, I'm doing good. Just working a lot. You know, I work usually 6 days a week.
Holy shit.
Like half of the Saturday. Usually I'm doing some kind of hot tubbing before I get over here.
Mm-hmm. Today, is that the case?
Today was not the case, so I had some extra time. So that was kind of nice. It was the first like Saturday morning I had free in a long time.
Yeah, you're usually hot tubbing.
Months. I
Saturday
can't even
mornings.
Think of when the next when the last one was.
Wow.
And so I'm doing pretty good, man.
Feeling good.
Playing a lot of music. It's good to play some music with you guys.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice to do that before the podcast. Yeah. So what's you're feeling cornered? What's that? You know, anything to share there?
Okay, well, yeah, let's jump into my first topic.
All right, cool.
Bam. So last week on the podcast for Empathy and Imagination, I read the letter that I sent into Hopsy.
Right.
Well, I got a response, and I'm going to read that letter on the air.
All right.
So,
you want to do that now?
Yeah, right cool. Now's the time for that. So thank you all for, you know, running through this with me. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave the names out.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Hi, Drew. That's my name, though, so it's fine. Hi, Drew. Okay.
Yeah.
We all really appreciated the vision you put together, an initiative you have to bring added value to Hopsy. We're humbled that you connect with Hopsy's mission and appreciate your work for us. We just got through a hiring round in the various departments and are focused on getting those new people up to speed and creating value. There's always the interim where it's more work and no output until they learn and then take ownership. The other open roles are more specialized, higher level developer, UI/UX. Don't even know what that means.
UI is user interface. UX is user experience. Because we all know that the word experience begins with X.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ops manager and general manager in San Diego with 5 to 10 years experience running warehouses and businesses.
Ooh.
So unfortunately, they don't sync up with the ideas you presented. They are indeed solid ideas, though, and areas that could indeed make Hopsy better. Agreed there. But we need to keep our limited resources focused on the existing efforts.
Mm-hmm.
But please be patient. We're growing rapidly, and things that are nice-to-haves now will become must-haves in a few months, if not sooner. Thanks again, Name. That's it. That's the letter I got.
Huh.
So the freedom I feel is that I'm leaving Hopsy.
Right.
That's there's no more. I feel completely happy with my efforts. Like, I didn't hold anything back. I fully went all out and tried my best.
Yeah. So and yeah. Was it?
It's over.
It just wasn't giving you enough Skrilla. Wasn't making you enough money.
It's I'm basically volunteering.
Oh.
I mean, by the time you're, yeah. I mean, the loose end is it doesn't pay enough. Like compared to hot tubbing, right? It's like half. And hot tub doesn't pay enough.
So what's the? Okay, that's so interesting.
I'm going to be, I feel free because, that I got my answer. And it's a solid no, thank you, for, you know, probably forever, but could be just for now. The thing is, I don't want to have my emotions.
It's kind of a soft no.
It's a softer no. It's not like I can't believe you tried.
Yeah, it's not a go fuck yourself no.
No, it really is you had good ideas, but someone with 5 to 10 years warehouse running. See, I only have 3 years experience of running warehouses.
I was going to say, that would be cool. That sounds like a cool thing. Doing ops.
Yeah, but operations. I don't want to move to San Diego.
Yeah.
And I've warehouse running. I've done that. It's not really fun, so.
Yeah, I hear that.
So, so the reason I feel trapped is I had this feeling that happened where it was like, oh, man, am I just too weird? Like, am I too, I mean, I might positively spin it and say, like, genuine in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerable and capable, but I don't usually talk like other people talk. Like, other people sort of talk speaking very rarely in the I. They more speak about others, and instead of saying like, well, I had the experience where I was feeling it seems like, you know when you go to the store and you just feel pissed, you know, people don't speak in the I, and I do. And I think that that's weird. So my brain sort of feels trapped because it runs around and goes like, well, am I somehow unhirable? Is there something like about me that's...
You've been hired for jobs in the past though, right?
Yeah, I've been promoted at everywhere except for the only two officially beer companies I've worked for. Everywhere else I was promoted as quickly as anyone could be.
Oh, the tap room and Hopsy?
Correct.
Yeah.
Those are the two official beer-only jobs I've had.
Southwest, you were promoted, like, right away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hired at age 19, like, 6 months after I was hired, and then managed people double my age. So, and then every other place I've been hired, I've been promoted as quickly as basically possible.
Yeah.
Except for this. So it's like, well, gosh dang it, do I suck in some way that I don't understand?
Hmm.
So that's a feeling of feeling a little trapped.
It's a little, yeah.
So that's kind of morbid. But, you know, it's my feelings when I'm, you know, looking at this letter and considering I read last week what the letter said and, you know, sort of the results of how that's all going. How's that going over there?
I don't know what happened. Oh, there we go.
Okay. We all right?
Yeah, we're all right. Cool. Keep going. Sorry.
So.
It is getting very hot, the phone.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could do.
Could unplug it.
Just do that for a few minutes. So, okay. So. So yeah, so that's got me feeling multiple things, and it's kind of sad, and that's kind of my main topic there. Of course, I'd love to hear what you might have to say on the topic, if you have anything.
Yeah, I think it's a natural feeling. You, everyone feels like they're weird, you know, most people do. Unhirable, or, I mean, God, you know, you gotta think about how many places you apply before you get accepted somewhere. So that can definitely chip away at your self-confidence and self-esteem. I personally don't think that you're weird. I mean, you're, you Thanks. Know, weird enough, not I mean, too weird.
Yeah.
It's also entering the economy now is more like you'd create your own jobs. You create, you are your own brand, you know?
Wow. Look at this. Folks. Huh.
Camera's on you.
Look what just happened. Wow.
Here, let me see how I can hold it up. That's amazing.
That was my last pipe, too. It just broke on the podcast. I'm just trying to clear it out.
We've had
that couldn't be a dirtier pipe if I tried.
We've had a couple equipment failures today.
Hey,
we had a battery fail. We had one of my tablets fail, and then a pipe failure. So,
you know what? It's okay. You know, it's fine.
You got something? You got something else? I have an apple over there.
Oh, I have something else too. Yeah. Well,
you do? Okay.
Okay. So, thank you for that. Thanks for not saying I'm too weird to be hired. And
no, yeah, I was just gonna say, like, you are nowadays. It's like you are your own brand and your own business. That's sort of the new model. The model of like working for GE for 40 years, getting a good pension. Those days are gone. Those days are gone.
My grandpa worked for SRI for like 40 years. He built shit that went into outer space using machine tools, and he was there forever, and then he died.
Yep.
And that's
nothing happen. Wrong with that. I mean, you know,
nothing wrong with it.
There was a lot of stability in that situation. But I think times have changed with the internet and automation and social media.
Could your grandpa get a job today? Probably not.
Probably not. I think that some of those jobs are still around, but people switch careers like every 5 years or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Well, I guess, I mean, like, if the audience has something to say or question, you could call us in at the phone number we list on our website.
Yeah, give us a call.
And if comments, thoughts, concerns, go ahead and send us a message.
Yeah.
Also comment on YouTube. So, thank you. So, let's just keep that topic brief because it's you know, it's like we could beat it up, but I'd say that's the topic/check-in section that we're doing okay with. And yeah, so let's keep this podcast moving.
Check-in/weirdness. What else we got? Yet another topic?
I do have some of the things to talk about, actually. It's a little more loose, and it's kind of, I'm sort of hoping you interrupt. Ready?
Okay, good. Can do that.
So I've got...
Yeah, that's cool.
I've got 24 of the most inspiring Hillary Clinton quotes.
Oh, boy. Let's see. The thing is, I probably have memorized all these.
And I've got the 21 Donald Trump quotes.
Okay. Do I have to guess, like, who said it? Who said what?
Ooh, that sounds cool. I like that.
I mean, whatever, you know. Whatever,
number one.
Whatever.
Yeah. Fear is always with us, but we just don't have time for it. Not now.
Sounds like Donnie.
That's incorrect.
That's Hillary?
That's Hillary.
Huh.
Number two.
Was that Hillary chiming in?
Sometimes your best investments are the ones you don't make.
Hillary.
Trump.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I'm reversed.
What separates the winners from the losers is how a person reacts to each new twist of fate.
That's Hillary.
Trump.
Wow.
Always aim high?
Are these contemporary quotes or just like quotes from...
It's
just from wherever.
Yeah. Always aim high. Work hard and care deeply about what you believe in. And when you stumble, keep faith. And when you're knocked down, get right back up and never listen to anyone who says you can't or shouldn't go on.
Trump.
Clinton. You've scored zero, correct? Zero
so far out of five.
Number six. The worst thing that can happen in democracy, as well as an individual's life, is to become cynical about the future and lose hope. That is the end, and we cannot let that happen.
Trump.
That was Clinton.
I'm trying to get the wrong answers.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's not... Oh, sorry. Excuse me. It's a blip, not a catastrophe.
Trump.
That's correct.
That sounds like something you would say.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, I've said that for all you want.
As long as you're going to be thinking anyway, think big.
That's Trump.
Correct. I don't hire a lot of number crunchers, and I don't trust fancy marketing surveys. I do my own surveys and draw my own conclusions.
Trump.
People can judge me for what I've done, and I think when somebody is out in the public eye, that's what they do. So I'm fully comfortable with who I am, what I stand for, and what I've always stood for.
I could be either one. I'm going to go Clinton on that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and you were right on the previous one also.
Okay, so that's three, right? Out of whatever.
There's a sense of things. There is a sense that things, if you keep positive and optimistic about what can be done, do work out.
What was that click? I'm going to say that's Trump.
Clinton again.
Huh.
Every moment wasted looking back keeps us from moving forward in this world and the world of tomorrow. We must go forward together or not at all.
Clinton.
Correct.
Because she used the word together.
Everything in life is luck. Who's that?
Sounds like Trump.
Correct.
Donnie.
Trump. Don Dizzle. If you were a little different or a little outrageous, or if you do things that are bold or controversial, the press is going to write about you.
Trump.
Correct. A tiny leak can sink a ship.
Clinton.
Trump.
Oh, okay. I thought that was cliche Clinton there, but nope.
Do all the good you can for all the people you can in all the ways you can as long as you can.
Clinton.
Correct.
That sounds like it's from something else.
It was Twitter last year.
Oh. But it sounds like it's paraphrased from like Shakespeare's, you know.
Yeah, it's probably classic, partially
like a classic quote.
Yeah. You know, everybody has setbacks in their life, and everybody falls short of whatever goals they might set for themselves. That's part of living and coming to terms with who you are as a person.
Trump.
Wrong. Clinton.
Huh. Take your own advice.
When you are wronged repeatedly, the worst thing you can do is continue taking it. Fight back.
Trump.
Correct. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to act effectively in spite of fear.
Clinton.
Trump.
Huh.
Remember, there's no such thing as an unrealistic goal, just unrealistic time frames.
Trump.
Correct. See, that was the, yeah.
Yeah. He's thinking about his presidential run when he wrote that.
It is often when night looks darkest. Wait. Yeah. It is often when night looks darkest. It is often before the fever breaks that one senses the gathering momentum for change, when one feels that resurrection of hope in the midst of despair and apathy.
Clinton.
Correct. We need to be fearless as the people whose stories you have applauded, as committed as the dissidents and the activists you have heard from, as audacious as those who start movements for peace when all seems lost.
Clinton.
Correct. Actually changed one of the words because it says women in it, but I thought I would switch that.
Ah, trying to fool me.
Criticism is easier to take when you realize that the only people who aren't criticized are those who don't take risks.
Trump.
Correct. I only work with the best.
Trump.
Correct. Leaders. True leaders take responsibility for the success of the team and understand that they must also take responsibility for the failure.
Clinton.
Trump.
Huh.
We need to understand that there is no formula for how women should live their lives. That is why we must respect the choices that each woman makes for herself and her family. Every woman deserves the chance to realize her God-given potential.
Clinton.
Correct.
Yeah.
To every little girl who dreams big, yes, you can be anything you want, even president.
Clinton.
Correct. Money was never a big motivation for me. Except Trump. As a way to keep score.
That's Trump.
The real excitement is playing the game.
That's from Art of the Deal.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes by losing a battle, you find a new way to win the war.
It sounds like Trump.
Mm-hmm. Rules are meant to be broken.
That could be either one. I guess Trump. I'll go with Trump.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Your business and your brand must first let people know what you care about and that you care about them.
Trump.
Correct. To LGBT men and women worldwide, let me say this. Wherever you live and whatever the circumstances of your life, whether you are connected to a network of support or feel isolated and vulnerable, please know that you are not alone.
Clinton.
Correct.
Too many words.
Mm-hmm. I have the best words.
Not the best words.
I have the best words. Trump. All of the best words.
Trump.
You have to be true to yourself. You have to be enough in touch with who you are and what you want, how you want to live and what's important to you to make your decisions. Based on that, sometimes that's very difficult.
Clinton.
Correct.
It almost sounded kind of Trumpish.
It did. I have a point at the end of this. In the end, you're measured not by how much you undertake, but by what you finally accomplish.
Clinton.
Trump.
Huh. You better get on that, accomplishing things.
Anyone who thinks my story is anywhere near over is sadly mistaken.
Trump.
Correct.
Huh. What was that last quote from? The year? Does it say the year?
Which one?
The last Trump quote?
Was that said?
Was that recent?
There wasn't a date on it.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Whether I am meant to or not, I challenge assumptions about women. I do make some people uncomfortable.
Clinton.
Which I'm well aware of. But that's just part of coming to grips with what I believe is still one of the most important pieces of unfinished business in human history. Empowering women to be able to stand up for themselves.
Clinton.
Mm-hmm, correct. I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas.
Clinton.
But what I decided to do was fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life.
Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Trump's gay and has a husband on the side.
Right. See, all the rest of these are really long, and you can tell they're all Clinton. Because Trump doesn't do long quotes. He repeats himself.
Yeah, brevity is the soul of wit.
So, okay, I think we've gotten the taste. And so there's a couple of points I'd like to make. One point is, at the beginning of this, during the shorter quotes, they're indistinguishable. You got all of them wrong.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you're bad. What that means is they're very close. They're actually closer, like publicly, than we think.
Yeah, and their rhetoric.
Their rhetoric is much closer than we think, and that sort of lends to, well, a lot of things, but one is basically that they're not so different, you know?
Yeah.
They're not so different.
Not so different.
The fact that they're all super upset, you know?
They're trying to tell people what they want to hear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
But you get into the shorter quotes with more repetition, you kind of can tell who it is, you know?
Yeah.
So there's definitely some sort of speaking styles, but yeah, as we know, communication is extremely important. And so all this is leading up to say that, like, well, they're not that far apart in some of their more shorter quotes, but Hillary Clinton definitely uses longer, more complete phrases in sort of her quotes in this list.
And I would say D-Dog. More extraneous words.
You could, that's another somewhat extraneous, cohesive sentences. When people read, like I could pull up today, like quote recent quotes that Trump said that they aren't even there's no information being expressed. It's just sort of jarbling. That it's like all extraneous, you know. But then there's like, what about the emails, Hillary? And then it gets extraneous and slips away.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's have criminals and billionaires control everybody. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Cool. Criminals and billionaires.
Bankers.
That's just banking, criminal bankers, billionaires.
Bankers, that's who really controls everything.
It is. And that's my thought.
Yeah. The Federal Reserve is just a piece. It's got to go.
So there might be some members of our audience that don't know what the Federal Reserve is. Aubrey, can you illuminate a little bit of what that is?
Federal Reserve is a central, privately owned bank that all throughout the history of civilization in the West, there's been a battle between the money changers, quote unquote, and the government. Like a battle for who should print money. The Bank of England is analogous to the Federal Reserve.
Are they a private corporation?
The Bank of England has nothing to do with the government of England. It's just a private thing. But it's named in such a way as to be misleading, right? You think Federal Reserve, you think, okay, federal government. But it's not. It's a privately held bank. And the initial investors, in fact, in the Federal Reserve are still unknown. We don't know who actually...
That's what I'm talking about!
And every president who has fought against the Federal Reserve system has been assassinated.
Andrew Jackson fought against the Federal Reserve system.
And he was unsuccessfully... There was an assassination attempt, which failed on him.
Was it after the Civil War that
Reagan,
he...
Lincoln, JFK?
JFK was against
all of the presidents who wanted to mint, who wanted to print money, who wanted to have the government print money.
In-house money, yeah.
Were killed. Now,
weird.
Is that a coincidence? I don't know.
I mean, certain people campaigned on destroying the Federal Reserve like Andrew Jackson did.
Yeah.
And there's cool old photos we could maybe add. It's very interesting.
And this pen isn't working, so it's really difficult to write things down. Federal Reserve. The colonies in the olden days of before the Civil War, the colonies printed their own money. It was called a colonial scrip. It was just paper money. It wasn't backed by anything, I don't think. But it was agreed upon that it would be the medium of exchange. And it worked great. The colonies got super prosperous. And then Britain was like, you can't do that. We want to print new money. And Benjamin Franklin, actually, it was his theory that that was the cause of the Civil War. That it wasn't had nothing to do with slavery. It had everything to do with the control of money, printing money. And the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, because Civil War was after
not
that.
Civil War. The Revolutionary War against Britain.
Yeah,
and so it wasn't so much about taxes. It was more about who controls the money. Britain wanted to control the money, but the colonies wanted to control the money. So, and the most prosperous times in America have been when the government is the one printing the money.
How about
not
that?
Some public, I mean, not some private bank.
Yeah, private fucking bank.
Because it's...
Are you ready?
What are you going to do, though? You know?
Are you ready for the official story?
Yeah, yeah. I think I got some of the facts right there.
You did. Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve, the central bank of the United States, provides the nation with a safe, flexible, and stable monetary and financial system.
Wrong.
The Federal Reserve
100%
system
false.
Is the central bank of the United States. It performs five general functions to promote effective operation of the U.S. economy and more generally the public interest, the Federal Reserve. Conducts the nation's monetary policy to promote maximum employment, stable prices, and moderate long-term interest rates in the U.S. economy. Number two, promotes the stability of financial systems and seeks to minimize and contain systemic risks through active monitoring and engagement in the U.S. and abroad.
God, such Orwellian, language.
Totally. Promotes the safety and soundness of individual financial institutions and monitors their impact on the financial system as a whole. Huh. Number four, fosters payment and settlement system safety, and efficiency through services to the banking industry and the U.S. government that facilitates U.S. dollar and transactions and payments. And number five, promotes consumer protection and community development through consumer-focused supervision and examination. Research and analysis of emerging consumer issues
promotes
trends, community economic development activities, the administration of consumer laws and regulations.
A lot of 10-cent words in there. Promotes the obfuscation of simple concepts by using extraneous words over and over again repetitively. Thank you.
Yeah, so
I think Finals Corp should manage the printing
Federal Reserve
of money.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally in.
Mayonnaise, you know, like mayonnaise flavored money. Oof. Scratch and sniff.
Ooh.
Scratch and sniff mayonnaise money.
Mm.
Maybe a scratch and sniff poison ivy.
Ugh. Final Corp, get okay, out of my head.
So, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So, I want to bring...
I want to be too serious.
I want to bring this back around. And now we know about... We're going to do some quotes.
Ooh.
About connection.
Oh. Hopefully it doesn't have to do with audio-visual connections, because I've had enough of that for today.
What do you got? Do stuff. Be clenched. Curious. Not waiting for inspiration's shove or society's kiss on your forehead. Pay attention. It's all about paying attention. Attention is vitality. And it connects you with others. It makes you eager. Stay eager. Susan Sontag.
Oh, I like her.
Mm-hmm. This one's too long. I'm not going to read that. We cannot live only for ourselves. 1,000 fibers connect us with our fellow men. And among those fibers, as sympathetic threads, our actions run as causes and they come back to us as effects. Herman Melville.
Ooh, another hero of mine.
Right? Love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. Thomas
Gandhi.
Merton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is he a poet or something?
Not sure.
Thomas Merton, is that what he said?
Correct. Thomas Merton.
I think he's a poet.
Invisible threads are the strongest ties. Nietzsche.
Ooh, Nietzsche. That's quite a ding.
It's still
some
ringing.
Resonance to it.
Still ringing. Jesus. When you have once seen the glow of happiness on the face of a beloved person, you know that a man can have no vocation but to awaken that light on the faces surrounding him. In the depth of winter, I finally learned that within me there lay an invincible summer. Camus.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess like Robert Frost or someone.
See?
Had to be someone who lived in a climate where it snowed or was cold.
Decent.
Anyway, Camus, yeah.
Okay. This time, good. When we kiss, I feel it in the pit of my stomach. I feel it in my heart. And I realized love isn't about sex. It's about connection. Ellen Hopkins. Well,
I don't know who that is.
I love lots of people I don't have sex with, so that's fine.
Yeah, I do understand the like, just visceral nature of kissing someone, you know. Someone that you love. It's like, it is like a pit in the stomach kind of thing. Mm. Rattlers mm-hmm. in the stomach. Cool. I don't know who that is, though. Who that person is.
Brené Brown?
Is that who that said that quote?
No, that's Ellen Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
Okay, next quote. I define connection as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. and they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from relationship.
That sounds like my boy Marshall Rosenberg.
It's Brené Brown.
Oh, you just
said
that.
I like my bro ham. Whatever is rejected from the self appears in the world as an event. Jung.
Huh. Whatever is rejected from the self.
The eyes are one of the most powerful tools a woman can have. With one look, she can relay the most intimate message. After the connection is made, words cease to exist.
It's got to be a Frenchman.
Jennifer Salaise.
Okay. French woman.
Beer. That one's still going.
That one's still going.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Well, you know, we do love craft beer, and it's just a hot day, and thanks for thinking of me.
Can you pass me the
thingamabobber? You don't have a pipe, do you?
I don't.
To run and get one. The world is so empty if one thinks only of mountains, rivers, and cities. But to know someone who thinks and feels with us, and who, though distant, is close to us in spirit, this makes the earth for us an inhabited garden. So kind of like the spirit, you know, we're spiritually connected in space.
Yeah, who's that?
Wolfgang von Goll.
Oh, okay.
Johann Wolfgang von Goll.
G-O-E-T-H-E?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a German author. He wrote Faust.
Oh, thank you.
He was apparently a mega guy.
What about him? Do you know about him?
Yeah, he was like he was just talented in everything he did. And he was sort of a Da Vinci level. Like, he knew that he was exceptional.
Really? In his real life?
Yeah. But he, you know, he was big into art, the arts, specifically writing. And I also heard something, it could be apocryphal, but when he died, it was like 60 or something like that.
A young guy?
Someone, you know, went to see, to identify the body or something, or saw him laying there just on the doctor's table, dead. And it was like his body was completely perfect, super muscular, toned, not a blemish.
Seriously?
On it.
He was mega ripped?
Yeah, it could be an apocryphal story, but that's.
Well, I mean,
remember hearing that.
Can you turn this camera on for a second?
Just
show.
This is what
he looked like.
Okay.
He looked like a saggy, floppy guy.
He looks a little, but he does, you know, he looks pretty. He's got a hale face. It's like kind of ruddy look. I mean, he's not like fucking Dolph Lundgren or something, but.
Dude, Dolph Lundgren can destroy most human beings.
He can. And in chemistry, too. He's got like a molecular biology degree from MIT or something.
No.
Yeah, he's like a mega guy.
I pulled up Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, some more quotes from him, because we went on this thing.
Oh, he's got some great ones. He's got some great ones.
Whatever you can do or dream, you can begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it.
Yeah, he has another one that's like, I can't remember what it was, but it's just, it's like the good life is, I can't remember it. Never mind.
As soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live.
There you go. Actually, there's a whole book published. It's like maxims and it's like aphorisms, just like little quotes from him that he uncollected. He never put anywhere.
Oh,
but
he never made like a book or something?
Yeah, because he was
like somebody else.
But
did.
He would be writing stuff down. He had a journal that he would be writing in. He would just, on long carriage trips, he would just write down stuff that
he didn't
thought.
Tweet those out?
No, he didn't tweet them out.
What a jerk.
He wasn't savvy to social media back then.
Well, he knew that knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not
That's
enough.
That's so true.
We must do.
That's so fucking true, man.
Get it, man.
Ideas. Ideas are easy. Executing ideas, way harder.
So this next one I actually want to tell to our hot tub boss if he's listening. Correction does much, but encouragement does more.
Ooh, nice.
None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Now that has actually come up in Zeitgeist a bunch. That's been quoted as people sort of, you know, experiencing the Federal Reserve without even knowing that it's a private for-profit fractional reserve banking system.
That gets into the whole like simulation thing, though. If we are living in a simulation, none of us are free, and none of us.
Well, Sam Harris argues against free will.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people do. Daniel Dennett does too. I think they sort of disagree on the particulars, but in general, they agree that there is no free will.
Nothing is worth more than this day.
I like it.
Okay. You want some more quotes? We quoted out. You need some more quotes?
Maybe we could pepper them in throughout.
Okay.
That'd be
so
nice.
Let's keep that tab open. Let's call a semi move on section.
Let's semi move on.
I really want to have some of my medicine now, so I'll be right back.
You keep holding it. All right. I'll do a Final Corp PSA.
Final Corp is the leader in the field of human voice simulation and voice recognition. My name is Amzam Zamani, and I am the product of hundreds of thousands of man-hours of Final Corp research and development. My voice is indistinguishable from that of a flesh-and-blood English-speaking human being. Also, grammatical never makes I don't mistakes, for example. Ever. 100% accuracy and 100% fluency. Final Corp has also pioneered shout recognition technology, yelling-based reminders, and noise-amplifying headphones. Take it from me, Zamzam Zamani. Final Corp is the voice of the future.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
One left. Final Corp, thank you for sponsoring us, supporting us. This is our 38th, 39th episode? I don't know. 38. Noise amplifying headphones. Very, very useful for those of you who want to go deaf prematurely. Awesome. Yelling-based reminders.
Yeah, I was going to say yelling-based reminders.
This is something that it's basically a very harsh, shrill reminder system that shouts, yells at you when you need something done.
Yeah, your meetings are scheduled or your appointments are going on. It just... Do we run one of those or do we have ad?
I don't think we have anyone, but it's kind of like, you know, time to pick up your kids at
school.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have all kinds of different personalities and abrasive, ornery voices that you can use. It's really, really quite delightful. And they also have shout recognition technology.
Okay. So if I was to go like, where the hell is my car?
Yeah, it would. It's like Siri, but more for when you're shouting. If you're one of those people who's always shouting, yeah.
Hey.
Ooh, I like that.
Final Corp. It'll be
Final
fine.
Corp.
Thank you, Final Corp, for supporting this show. Thank you for your fine products, of course. 50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience. Final Corp. It'll be fine.
It will indeed be fine. As Goethe once said, it'll be fine.
So, okay. So, as far as like other topics and conversational points, what do you got?
Well, let's see. Kind of wanted to grab another breer.
Okay.
Is that one for you?
Okay.
I wanted to talk about surveillance.
Oh, shit.
Okay. You heard of this?
I love this topic.
Have you seen this? Just kidding. It's seen you. Surveillance, indeed. And it's almost like, I don't know, any thoughts there?
Well, I mean, of course, I want to hear. Should you start it, or
I mean, we're out of control with the surveillance. Oh, so, dude. Surveillance, just to clarify, surveillance is the monitoring of behavior, activities, or other changing information for the purposes of influencing, managing, directing, or protecting people. So this is from Wikipedia. This can include observation from a distance by means of electronic equipment, such as CCTV cameras, which means closed circuit TV. interception of electronically transmitted information. It can also include simple methods such as human intelligence agents and postal interception. The word surveillance comes from a French phrase for watching over.
Like
sur, yeah, like, you know, sur la table. You know, sur means from above. And veiller means to watch. So the interesting thing, there's a lot of interesting things about surveillance. Okay, there we go. My mic cable's a little finicky.
Could be the mic.
Surveillance. Now, probably ever since the invention of the camera, we've been watching over people. Orson Welles, back in the 40s, 30s and 40s, he knew his office was being bugged. You know, the old, you'd find like a big microphone behind the painting. Like, that was the thing. It was a real thing. It's gotten more sophisticated. And nowadays, you see some of these apartment buildings in, like, Oakland, for example, and there's, like, clusters of cameras, you know, watching over the entrance.
Oh, like, from all different, different angles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, surveillance? Okay. Surveillance as a topic. Any more ad copy on that, on surveillance? Okay, so... I think I have sort of a dual view on surveillance at this point because, like, years ago, I remember my good friend, Evan, his dad worked for some of the first phone companies that realized you could be kind of monitoring everyone on the phones and stuff. He was, like, in the software of that when it was first going on. And Evan was telling me, like, hey, even though your phone's off, they can tell where you are. And, like, even if you said no, they can record you. With audio or sometimes video.
Land phone?
A cell phone. Land phones too. But it's like, it's not unknown, and it's like a thing.
It's true.
And it's like...
Recently it came out that with the NSA leaks, remember all that stuff?
Which one? Because there's a few.
Well, there's Vault 7. That was recently. That's what I'm referring to. There was something in there, the CIA Vault 7 links, all the hacking leaks. There was something that was like a Samsung TV, smart TV, that the CIA was like, you know, they were able to turn on the mic and the video camera
remotely
on the TV remotely and watch you. And even on your computer.
They could this has a camera.
I mean, they could turn on the camera and just leave the light off. So you think the camera's off. That's like a no-brainer. And, there's a kind of a the founder of internet security, antivirus security, John McAfee. He says if you've ever visited a porn site on your phone, which I'm sure none of our listeners have ever done, if you've ever visited a porn site on your phone, you're being watched. That's the way he put it. It's like, yeah.
So that's the huge cross-section of our culture.
And also, like, the phone is the perfect spy device.
Oh, the phone's the best.
Right? Tracks where you are, has audio. It can record your audio, record your video, knows where you are, knows all your preferences, all your mail, all your communications. Perfect. It's almost like it was designed to be a spy device.
Kind of like Facebook was designed to be
like a spy device? You could not design a better spy device than a smartphone.
Handing everybody a smartphone.
And so, like, when you download an app, like a flashlight app or something, and it's like... authorize this app to have access to your camera, your location. It's like, what the fuck? Why does it need all this stuff?
No.
So
NPR did a thing on that.
Yeah, McAfee's company makes this app that basically tells you all the permissions that all your apps have, which is pretty cool.
Sounds like I would like to have that app.
Yeah, I forget what the name of it is. It's like
debug or something.
D something.
Freaking surveillance, man.
It has like a very awkward name, which is why I don't remember it. Well, surveillance. McAfee. Yeah, you got any? You know, we'll get into McAfee. Maybe he's on a different episode. Okay, we'll interesting guy. Try to get him on the show.
Since we're on it, let me do this. Let me read the Track 7 Wiki update press release.
Cool.
Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. Ready?
Okay, it's a month ago.
WikiLeaks begins its new series of leaks on the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency codenamed Vault 7 by WikiLeaks. It is the largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency. The first full part of the series, Year Zero, comprises 8,761 documents and files from an isolated high-security network situated inside the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence in Langley, Virginia. It follows an introductory disclosure last month of CIA targeting French political parties and candidates in the lead-up to the 2012 presidential election. Recently, the CIA lost control of the majority of its hacking arsenal, including malware, viruses, trojans, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware, remote control systems, and associated documentation. This extraordinary collection, which amounts to more than several hundred million lines of code, gives its processor the entire hacking capacity of the CIA. The archive appears to have been circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner, one of whom was provided to WikiLeaks with portions of the archive. Let's just start there.
Yeah, privacy is a whole bag of worms.
Dude.
That's a whole other thing. Surveillance itself is like, what are the acceptable limits of surveillance? What do you think? Any thoughts on surveillance?
Why? Okay, it starts with why. Why are we surveilling? What are we hoping to learn from the surveillance? It seems like now that we're in such, like, we're under, like, look at you and me right now in this moment.
It's to gather information.
Are, like, doing that on purpose.
We'll get to that. That's called we can get to it now.
Okay.
It's called surveillance. So surveillance is the watching from above. Surveillance is watching from below. Like when you self-surveil.
Well, that's what we're doing.
It's called surveillance. And that's the age of the selfie. That's what that is.
It's selfie is surveillance.
Right. Right. We are willingly surveilling ourselves. We love it. We're our own best spies.
Well, we want to share what we're talking with the internet.
Yes.
But people who are masturbating don't want to give that to the government as far as information.
Right.
Well, right. That's fine.
That's a privacy. Stay calm. That's a privacy thing, and that is significant. I mean, that's a big deal.
Everything's fine here, folks. We just a microphone counterbalance weight just sort of came on down, and everything's fine. There we go.
I feel like
the occasional crashes.
I feel like we need privacy.
Yeah.
We don't. Full transparency would be a hell.
I think so. If I can never be alone,
and even like if the government was fully transparent, you know what I mean? If anything, in any system.
So 100% transparency is bad.
Yeah. I think there are things that the government maybe or whatever entity should know that we don't necessarily, it's not necessary that we know it, right? So, yeah, privacy, surveillance, surveillance, it all ties together.
Well, it's so thick now. I've basically surrendered. And that's part of the reason I'm like,
yeah.
I do this surveillance is because, like, I don't have anything to hide.
You're part of the system.
I don't have anything to hide, and I can demonstrate that I'm a safe, sane person and can operate in society just fine. I'm not plotting to harm anyone or...
Yeah.
I don't have any plots, you know?
Well, we're motives. Creators and producers.
We're producers.
But, you know, you can think of...
I do have an agenda.
You can think of... it as self-surveillance, though. You know, people set up home security systems.
Yeah.
So they're watching for intruders, but they're also sort of watching themselves sleep.
They're also watching their
family. They could if they wanted to.
Was little Johnny doing his homework, playing the video game?
Right. Monitoring them.
Baby monitors,
keeping tabs
right?
on them.
What if you had a baby monitor, and then, like, you got to be, like, 4 years old, and you still had to, and then you were, like, 13, and you had to carry your baby monitor, and still your parents were, like, watching it.
Right.
And you're rolling a J, well, and just making out with some weird guy, and then
just instead of a baby monitor, watching. Instead of a baby monitor, just replace it with a social security number, and basically,
dude, that's we're there. Where we're at. You almost need that to log into Facebook now. And Facebook is the best kind of surveillance because you give like trends upon trends upon trends of your information away, like what time you do, how like extravagant you're, how bold and exciting you are making decisions, like that's all rated and sold, and and so all the social media is just compounding. It's almost like the yang has slowly swollen into the yin. That's sort of what happened now, because I just sort of operate under the assumption that I'm basically being filmed at all times. When I'm out in the world.
What's the yin in that yang, though? It has to be like a countervailing force.
Well, if the yin is trying to to be not monitored, like if you're maintaining privacy, and you sort of let it go because there's, you know, there's cameras when you go to get cash out at the ATM. You let it go when you walk into a restaurant because you know there's cameras there. You let it know when you knock on somebody's studio, they're probably going to have a camera going. You know, it's just like there's acquiesces and it swells until that's the norm.
It's crazy how much we acquiesce.
That's like what I'm saying. It's gone now.
We've
let it go.
Most of it.
Only when we camp do we actually get that.
You scan your fingerprint onto your phone so that your phone opens up to your email, which contains like all your interpersonal interactions. Fully documented. And then you use your text messaging app, which is more sort of immediate friends. And it's like it's just an information gathering device on you.
And you just fill it with content all day.
And people couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more willing to use their phones to surveil themselves.
Take selfies, upload them to the internet. Yep. Well, I think that there's a sharing and public
information to a large corporation is called sharing. That's how we get people to just do it.
In the old days, they might have shared by writing a thing and trying to get it published, or like that's kind of where that would go.
There was no, the post office wasn't reading people's mail.
Oh no,
you know.
Right. What I mean is like if you wanted a selfie in 1890. Was to like try to get something published. So now everyone's publishing all this stuff for free constantly. And, you know, I think that without that, it would be unhealthy. Thank you, doggies.
Without what?
If we didn't have like selfie expression that was sort of pan person. So like social media, photo selfie sharing is a strategy, is part of doing, you know, the self-surveillance. So if there was none of that, I think that would be bad, like hermit-like, right? I think that there's an extreme there. And I think if everything, like the shows they did in the 90s where they constantly film these couples living in these apartments New York, it's just deadly.
Big Brother or whatever.
I mean, that sounds like hellish, because you're almost every moment is being filmed.
Yeah, except for the bathroom, your one respite.
Right. So I say go on hikes, leave your phone in the car, go on hikes.
Yeah.
Try that. Cause
at least once a day, put your phone away.
Yeah.
Once a week, sorry.
Yeah. I need that thing. But if once a week you turned it off, left it, and went out
for
into nature.
Several hours, you just
like, oh no, it might be chilly, or there might be bugs, or oh, what do we do? That's scary. No, you're a person. This is your place.
Right.
You have legs. You don't have flippers or wings. You're not a sky or an ocean animal. You're a walking animal.
It is like a tether, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if you were to someone committing suicide and they have their phone in their hand the whole time, the way down, you know.
Oh, jumping off of something?
Yeah, like you could see that being sort of normal, because it's just part of who you are now. The phone, right? And what's like the next level of? So there's a certain gradient of surveillance.
I have a thing
that's acceptable.
Yeah,
I think there always has to be privacy at the bottom. And then there's like a scope of wide-ranging uses of surveillance.
I have an extreme idea.
And the extreme is like everyone's watching themselves and watching everyone else all day, every day. Mm-hmm. That would be the extreme version. That's sort of a description of our life.
Except for not everyone has access to it. If we had a culture where everybody had access to
that, it would be the Matrix.
We would have a certain new kind of, a new level of sort of integrity, because you know fucking everybody knows what everybody's doing. So you have this like stable loop, right? So I think it's scary, but I think it would create a stable loop. And that's, I think, probably inevitable. You'd
need some privacy, though, I think.
I think what you would do is also unplug from the entire network and just go do things that wasn't on that network. Like go in nature without any electronics. And there's still satellites, you know, still filming you.
Just go walk into the woods.
Just go. Bring your dog that's barking outside. Bring your dog. Go in the woods. Be alone. And do whatever you want to do. You know?
Sometimes you got to shut it all off.
There's you know, the whole, like, that there's monitoring information and dryers and microwaves and stuff like that. Like, there's a little bit of a gray area there. And that is that most devices don't record your information and stuff. That's like a wildly blown out thing. And yet, there are certain devices that have microphones in them that you wouldn't think, like, they're for, like, self-diagnosis, sort of. And you wouldn't think, but if, say, you had your smart TV hooked up, it's not so much that your microwave could videotape you, but I think that there have been some decent arguments for that sound has been recorded with the equipment inside of a microwave, for example. So, like, that's technically possible, but with the equipment involved. So it's like, well, if it's possible, then it happened. So then there's like a weird gray area there for me. So that's kind of what I think about the whole like home appliance thing. But as far as the future, it's going to be
Internet of Things.
Yeah, the Internet of Things. Yeah. It's going to be the future of different stuff. Mm. Okay, what do you think? How do you picture differently than I said the future of surveillance going and being and feeling?
I don't know. I mean, you could picture like gamifying surveillance so that people are playing games to surveil others, but in the, through the sort of context of a game. So you could gamify surveillance. It could become like a social media.
Give me an example. So like how I log into game survey and I'm logged in and I go on and there's a bank and my game is at a bank.
Or it's like you have to match two cards. You have to match two faces together.
Oh,
fuck.
You know, you'd be good at that as people.
Like a solitaire type game, just a Minesweeper type game.
Which faces look the most alike? Pick. Doo-doo.
Yeah.
Next round.
Doo-doo. And it's like you're doing basically surveillance work, pattern recognition work.
Which is what computers are like the slowest to catch up on, is like, because we have better eyes than them.
Yeah, we're better at it. So you could see how that could be monetized. And I think
fringes of automation, man.
And I think we will ourselves reveal more and more about us online. We'll share more and more about us.
Like social media share?
Yeah.
Smells. Oh, like other senses and shit.
Real-time smell simulation.
That's likely.
Because it would just be a 3D printer, right?
People would be farting.
Print molecules.
People would upload farts to like Farter, which would be like Twitter, but farting.
Right. So F-A-R-T-R.
So everything you smell and hear, it's like, and you can smell the fart, and you're like, God damn, why do I have this app? But you put farts on there too, and what it is
people share like your farts.
Right, you share your farts. It's actually healthy, did you know?
They could analyze your farts and give you like results and like analysis of your diet.
That's a good startup.
Farters.
Fart into this device.
Farter.
Fart into this device and we'll give you medical advice.
Final corpse. Final corp is here.
Okay, how else were surveillance? What do you think? Tell me more about your thoughts on surveillance in the future.
Well, I think there'll be more, way more drones. There'll be a lot more drones and, you know, like dash cam, body cams, dash cams. There'll be more cameras everywhere.
New cars all have cameras.
So cameras, more cameras everywhere all the time. Everything will be a camera. And it's just a matter of what do you watch when there's so many things to choose from. Who's gonna be amalgamating all the data of all the cameras and analyzing it?
Computers.
Yeah. So that seems like the future of surveillance.
Yeah.
And that future is almost here already. That's sort of the world we live in. People are constantly sharing personal shit with strangers.
Yeah. I mean, we did before. Like, think about a town.
Think about what's on your Facebook.
Yeah. People would see that. You would do that in person with people. It's like not unnatural that we want to share that. It's
right.
It's unnatural that you share it like weirdly anonymously. Because you are just a login to that information. You're right. One password mistake away from not being that person.
Right.
But in real life, you walk around, you meet people, you actually bump around. And socially, it's harder because, you offend people, you get upset more often.
Mm.
But we all have this all, like, we're polite and stuff, because we're weirdly mean to each other on the internet. So yeah. It's like this
the
weird,
internet
like,
is a nasty place.
Are you code name or username... 5 or 9 or Fireflower? Because if you're 5 or 9 or Fireflower, I don't want to talk to you because 5 or 9 or Fireflower was saying the most insanely racist, insane stuff on my Twitter video and, or my YouTube comment section. It just was just a nightmare. But people don't really talk like that in real life because if they did, you'd get laughed at or you'd be like, hey, man.
That's true.
Around here, we try to communicate in a way that allows people to express themselves mutually. So I'm not sure if that's gonna.
Someone's probably already changed their real life name into like their Twitter handle.
5 or 9 or Alpha Flower.
Yeah.
They're probably naming their kids like Baby Spar 52.
Human offspring. Number.
8 billion.
Blank.
Yeah. My name is 8 billion. Oh, is that because you were the 8th billionth person? Yes. Well, that would be cool. All right. The more connections you and your lover make, not just between your bodies, but between your minds, your hearts, and your souls, the more you will strengthen the fabric of your relationship and the more real moments you will experience together. Any fact becomes important when it's connected to another. There is no perfection, only beautiful versions of brokenness. Shannon Elder. Life's just a bunch of accidents connected by one perfect end. Daniel C. Thomas. Just as the wave cannot exist for itself, but it is ever a part of the heaving surface of the ocean, so must I never live my life for itself, but always in the experience which is going on around me. Nice. Cool. Okay. Well, those are some more fun quotes. So now I think it, we're going to, okay. Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to wrap up surveillance. Final thoughts, and then we're going to move on to the next thing.
Surveillance creep. You know,
we're
surveillance
wrapping up the
creep.
Topic.
Wrapping up the topic.
Wrapping up the topic.
Okay, go ahead. That was the topic, surveillance. It's something we all do, and I think we do it to ourselves willingly. I think it's a part of our nature. But I also think privacy is essential to, like, mental health of the culture.
Yeah.
So that was surveillance.
Thank you.
Did you have another topic?
I have a sounds weird.
Oh, yeah, sounds weird.
I have a sounds weird, and I'm also... I think it's time for... After my sounds good, I'm interested in hearing from on a regular basis.
Oh, huh.
There are, I mean, the tools are here, you know.
Tools are here.
So, true. Let me see. Okay, so I am a fancy music maker guy. And so what that means is I experiment with making music by myself sometimes. So now that I have access to the electronic drum kit, I'm now experimenting with recording drums and guitar just by myself one at a time.
Mm.
And then I sort of experiment with one first or the other first.
Okay.
So like I'll record guitar to a click track and then I'll make up drums to go over that, or I'll record drums to a click track and then make a guitar go over that. And so this here is a very first draft, unfinished one of those. So it's basically just like I'm sharing a process. So what I'll probably do is share this version, and then in some time we'll probably share a final version.
Whoops.
Hey.
Second time, Final Corp's trying to horn in.
Final Corp. So basically this is kind of like a personal thing to share because it's not done. So
okay.
It sounds weird.
Sounds good in progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. Burzum-ish. Like with the production, the drums low, the guitar super shrill.
Right, then.
Thank you. Cool.
And that sounds good.
I like it. Did you have a click track on that? Or did you just do it?
That was a click track.
Are you pretty used to that, right, playing to a click track? Or is it weird?
I'm pretty used to it. It's been amazing. Nice. Thank
cool.
you. Thank you, everybody. So, do we have any other topics?
I just had surveillance.
Okay, well,
surveillance.
Let's check the notes. Yeah. Yeah. Nope.
No notes.
No more notes. So that means it's time for Freeform.
Okay.
You know what Freeform is?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, can you look up what Freeform is? Don't you have some of our... you probably got some notes in there, huh?
We have topics.
Yeah. Okay.
We let's do see. Have topics
let's,
somewhere.
Let's answer a we phone call.
You know, but
let's see.
It's a good go. We've been going for over an hour.
Okay. What time is it? Oh, no. How long is it? Okay. No, 17.
Longer
minutes.
Than that. So that's okay. The second half.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you could do some regular bassist. Bassist for you. That's an oldie. Thanks for listening.
Any final words on the regular bassist, or are we just leaving it that sweet, sweet music?
Can leave it at that.
Okay, folks. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Go to the usual places, iTunes, YouTube, Patreon. Check us out.
EmpathyandImagination.com. Thank you so much for spending your time today with us here at the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. I want to acknowledge you for taking time out of your day to listen to us discuss empathy and imagination.
Camera ran out of batteries. That was the only issue, right?
Yes. This almost works.
Yeah. You could like zip tie it and make it a little stand. Again.
Check. So in just a few minutes we'll be beginning the after show, which of course is where we eat poop or drink music or something like that. Cool. Check out, hold on, stand by, just a moment. Actually, we're going to switch into something. Cool, so thank you.